sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
I am your king now.
Welcome. Ooh, oh my god. Oh my god. Sorry, a little technical difficulties. By that I mean the levels of my headphones are a little too high. Too high, kids. Too high, man. Now your parents would say, you kids don't know what I'm talking about. But back in our days, headphones were so loud that our parents warned us that, yo, turn that shit down because you're gonna lose your hearing. Yeah, no relevance. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black. I forgot my name. I am your host. I am your king now. And I'm also your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web.
I am your king now.
Yeah, that's going to be a theme for today's show. Even though it's not the title to this episode. Now, before I continue, I got to remind, I got to teach new listeners that this episode is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and also weighs a red, blue, and a red, black flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on, what are we today? Today is November 16 at 10 p.m. on a Wednesday. So I guess I should say that it's a midweek episode. And this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Oh, right.
I am your king now.
Oh, man. Okay, you know what? All right. Look, I've been, oh, my God, this day, man. Yeah, okay. Before I get into my rundown sheet, let me just say it's been a challenging day. Well, not really. I mean, I'm being a spoiled brat. It's been a challenging day by first world problem standards. But let's just say towards the end of the day, I was feeling really fatigued, hadn't showered. Long story. Actually, it's a short story. I just don't want to get into it. Hadn't showered. Hadn't had a chance to shower. And I hadn't eaten. Work was just work. And I remember debating on whether I should make myself something to eat or record a podcast episode. Or shower, eat, and then podcast episode. First world problem. I did warn you. First world problem shit. And then, long story short, I decided to be an adult, take the shower, and then do like most adults do. I'm not going to record an episode on an empty stomach. I want to give you my all. And then I told myself that I made myself something to eat. I made myself some sweet potato and black bean bowl. It was all right. Only problem is it had salsa in there. And I don't know, man. These people, these meal kits keep giving me ingredients to make salsa. And I got to tell you, man, my salsa sucks. Either it's the ingredients they gave me or just my hands, but it wasn't that great. But the meal was good. My stomach was full. And here I thought that I would suffer from the itis, but no, that's not what happened. Instead, I spent most of the time while cooking thinking about this episode, what I wanted to say, what I didn't want to say, overthinking. And I think I was done dinner by 8, and it's now 10 o'clock. I should probably add, okay, in the perfectionism, is I was troubleshooting a problem with the sound. There was a weird, like, you don't hear it now. Hold on. Yeah, you don't hear it now. But the output coming out from my computer that allows me to do some stuff like,
I am your king now.
Yeah, things like that. It's there was a noise. There was an annoying noise, and the inner nerd in me was pissed off. Was trying to troubleshoot it, and then I think I fixed it. Yeah, I think I fixed it. But here we are. Here we are now, and getting ready to record. I am getting close to. Actually, it's kind of past my bedtime. Not really, but I kind of like to wind down around this time. But instead, I'm recording this fine episode for you fine folks. For you fine folks. All right, okay. Let's jump to the rundown because I got to get a nap here. You know, I'm going to jump with, speaking of making mistakes, I'm going to, caught this. Yeah, is this my, am I looking at the rundown? Yeah, okay. I'm going to put this number one. And I'm going to, it's a clip that I copied off TikTok. The details will be in the show notes. And this TikToker shared, and I thought it was worth sharing with the rest of y'all. And here we go. What's her name? Hold on. I will tell you once I play the video. Here we go.
Most people don't realize that if you think that every decision that you make needs to be the exact right decision, that is a sign you are stuck in fight or flight.
Her name is Dana Dozy. And I don't know, since the first time I played this clip, it's been replaying in my mind. And especially I find myself catching myself every once in a while when I'm overthinking, making the wrong decisions. That's something that's plagued me since my youths. Yeah, since my youths. I'm not going to go into long details because I can go on a tangent on this shit. But what's funny is I knew I was going to play this clip, and I was plagued with making mistakes. Like every time I make these episodes, I am, my biggest concern is making mistakes. See, what happens is after I hit stop, I'm done recording, then I'm going to start thinking about, oh, fuck, I fucked this up. I should have said this, prepared that. And I'm working on it, man. I'm dealing with that part of my mind that constantly wants to shit on my work, on my efforts. I mean, ain't no such thing as perfectionism. Brené Brown has a thought about that. It's like, perfectionism is like, it's like an addiction to, oh my God. Oh, how did she say it, man? I had it. I forgot. But it's like an addiction to things could be better. And you constantly focus on trying to get it. The constant quest of perfection leads to, shit not happening. He who waits masturbate, kind of thing like that. Yeah. Those kind of results, man. Anyways. All right. Yeah. So I guess I was masturbating before I recorded this episode. All right, yo, shout out to Dana Dozy. Her details, the details about that clip I just played will be in the show notes. It'll be the first of the show notes. All right, okay, next one on the item. I think past episode, I was trying to formulate some thoughts about, okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time again because my bedtime's coming up, but black folks and anti-Semitism. Because I was fascinated. I'm curious about how the fuck did anti-Semitism become a thing for us? And how come, what is it about Jewish people that they're not getting the same treatment as we would give to like our brown brothers? Well, I guess, because, some Jewish people do, Jewish people, I'm generalizing, but I'm thinking of the white passing Jewish people, how they've benefited. Some have benefited from, some benefit from white privilege. And even though they've gone through their own oppression, they've, rode that white wave, I guess, turned our back on us. But my point isn't to attack Jewish people. I am curious at how we got to this point. And all this started because first it was, I had probably two episodes. I was talking about Kyrie Irving, Kanye West, to getting on the anti-Semitic shit, I was thinking about while I was growing up, someone introduced me to Minister Farrakhan, and they played me one of his speech, and he was getting on this some anti-Semitic shit. And I'm like, damn, homie, I mean, what the fuck? I mean, no, at the time, I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about, but I just went along because, you know, I guess that's what we do as black people. Blame Jews for our problems. Anyways, man, you know, and then, you know, you grew up out of it. You know, it also helps that I've never had a Jewish friend that I could get their feedback, get their thoughts on this, to get their thoughts on, like, I'm used to being in settings where people will say anti-Semitic shit, but they won't pass it off as anti-Semitic. Like, to them, it's, I'm not saying anything anti-Semitic. We're doing like, you know, they do like white people do. You know, I'm not saying it's racist. Just because I'm saying nigger, I don't mean nigger in the racist ways. I mean nigger in a nigger way. Anyway, yeah. In the way it was meant to be said. Niggers. Anyway, yeah. You know, you just make excuses. But anyway, all this to say, Kanye West, and then recently, Dave Chappelle. Now, Dave Chappelle was recently accused of, what was he accused of? Okay, anti-Semitism or normalizing anti-Semitism. It didn't make sense to me at first. And then I heard this clip, and I'm going to play this clip, and I'm just going to share a brief thought on it. And, you know, the only point I'm making is I understand what it's like. Having a white friend, I've had a white friend say something racist, and I called them on it. And I made sure in my vocabulary to say, dude, I'm not accusing you of being racist. I'm saying that action you just did was racist. But, you know, in pure whitey fashion, he took it personally, took it like, you know, who are you calling a racist, nigga? Anyway, yeah, he just lost it, and we're not friends anymore. Anyway, but what I'm getting at is I'm seeing there's that same defensiveness. It's like Chappelle made some jokes that I won't lie, I won't deny, that I found funny. And I'm like, yo, fuck, how's he going to get a kid? I mean, to me, nothing about this sounds anti-Semitic. And then I found some clip on TikTok, again, well, this brother breaks it down in a way that I could understand. And I guess my point is this. We should know the difference between being anti-Semitic and acknowledging when you do something that someone considers to be anti-Semitic. By that, I mean doing something that's anti-Semitic. Now, it's possible you had all the best intentions, but you still got to acknowledge it. That's what I'm saying. And you decide, you know, at least acknowledge it. And you decide whether you want to be, you know, double down on that shit or be like, you know what? Okay, I get it. You know, I'll work with you. But, you know, it's why are we acting like we can't learn shit about anti-Semitism? You know, if I do something or say anything that's considered anti-Semitic, I want to know. I want to be knowledgeable about it. Right now, Yeah, anyway, I'm going to play this clip because this brother just breaks it down in a way that just makes more sense than any sense that I could. And his name is, oh, here we go. Wait, okay, it's on mute right now, but his name is, hold on a second.
Control the media. And I started
here
to explain.
Go. Here we go. Okay.
I was talking to him.
Okay, hold on, because I'm trying to get his name. Jamie Lee Karen. All right, again, shit will be in the show notes. Here we go.
I was talking to a black man in his early 20s about Kanye, and he said, you know, what Ye said about Jewish people was true. They do control the media. And I started to explain, that's just an old anti-Semitic talking point. Like, nobody ever talks about how the energy sector is controlled by white Christian men. People only mention Jewish people in the media to impact you in a certain direction. He said, how can it be anti-Semitic if it's positive? We saying they got money and they stick together. A lot of times when we talk about Jewish people in the black community, it's framed as if it's a positive. They don't waste their money. They build generational wealth. They invest in businesses. But those actually aren't our original ideas about Jewish people. Those are stereotypes that were given to us. Why would people who hate Jewish people pass down stereotypes that sound positive? When you think of the typical stereotypes about black men, what are they? Dumb, angry, volatile, wasteful, only useful for physical tasks, not useful for using their brains. Yep. These stereotypes paint the picture of a group of people who are a drain on society unless they are broken, controlled, imprisoned, or enslaved. And that mentality justifies everything from throwing away our job applications to killing us in the streets. Stereotypes about Jewish people are different. They control the media, they stick together, they keep their money to themselves. Those stereotypes paint a different picture, a picture of a group of people who can compete with, outperform, and even subjugate white people in the open market. Why were white supremacist groups walking through Charlottesville chanting Jews will not replace us? Because while black people were painted to be a drain, Jewish people were painted to be a threat. And they have very specific ideas about what to do with a threat. They just need more support for those ideas. But those stereotypes didn't come from us, and they're not meant to benefit us. They're meant to pit one group against another in support of white supremacy.
Bottom line, man. Bottom line. You know, we fighting white supremacy. That's a, I make an emphasis to start an episode by to start every episode by talking about fuck whitey, how it's brought up by the letter F. That's my fuck white supremacy line. And I get it. I get it. I mean, if I was Jewish and people were talking about how, hey, you people joined the media, then, you know, my spidey sense would be tingling. I'm like, okay, you know, are you getting ready to make a joke about this shit or whatnot? Now, okay, look, I guess I want to be clear that my aim in all this is understanding. Is establishing an understanding as opposed to resorting to the usual fuck you, I can't be racist, fuck you, I can't be anti-Semitic, this is how I meant it, and this is how and this is how I meant it, and this is how you should take it. I'm just lines of communication, understanding. Like, I was thinking about how today I was at work, and a white dude at work just dropped the line. And I want to be clear. Okay, I'm saying this on this microphone. I would not tell this to this white person, because he's also the type of can't say anything in this world today. And basically, he used the expression or the idiom "crack the whip." Oh, we're gonna crack the whip on these clients, or crack the whip on our whatever, something like that. And every time I hear that expression, even though I know it's not meant in the you know, as in slavery or anything like that, but I can't. Every time I hear that shit, and being the only black people surrounded by white people, it takes me back to when I was in high school or in grade school, and teacher would talk about slavery, and all the fucking white kids would look at me during, you know, would take a look at me like, I don't know, I have no idea why the fuck they were looking at me. Maybe, you know, every time they would say the N-word, like, what exactly did they think I was gonna do? Like, uprise, fuck you, white cracker bitch. Don't be using that word around me. But anyways, yeah, it just makes me feel awkward. Now, it's not to the point where I'm willing to confront this person and say, hey, stop using that word. No, if he was the curious type, I would let him know. Okay, would I want him to stop using it? I mean, I tell you what, I would love to live in a world where white people acknowledge fucking slavery. And the effects it has on other people. I mean, yeah, it would help if you stop using. Because I know black people wouldn't agree with me. It's just crack the whip doesn't mean the same thing or whatever. All I'm saying is it annoys me. I feel something when it's said. But I'm not annoyed to the point where I'm willing to confront people about it. But, you know, but fuck, it just adds to the list of. Like, one thing that bothers me the most when dealing with white people is how they act like they're how oblivious they are to their whiteness. How oblivious they are to what it took for them to be where they're at. And I don't know. I just, yeah, crack the whip is just one of those words that's just, it has a different effect on me than it has on you. So I guess to get back to, the anti-Semitism shit. It's like, you know, saying shit like, hey, Jews own the media, control the banks. And I can see how someone could be like, spider sense are tingling. I mean, do I have to need to prepare? Do I need to get worried? Or shit like that. I mean, you know, I get it. I'm just saying, I get it. That's really all I'm just trying to say is I get it. I'm not trying to censor anyone out there. I'm not, I'm just saying I get it. I'm just going to leave it at there because I feel like I'm going to over-explain myself and worry about making a mistake. All right, moving on. Down the run sheet. Okay. Yeah, so recently in the news, this is what I mentioned, it was Wednesday the 16th, and this rapper, his name is 21 Savage, some young guy, new rapper, he's got a crucifix on his fucking forehead. Is that a crucifix? Whatever, he's got some fucked up tattoo. He's got a "don't hire me" tattoo on his job, on "don't hire me for this job" kind of tattoo on his forehead, but doesn't matter, that's not why I'm bringing him up. Is this motherfucker only made my radar because he was rapping with Nas. And well, anyways, recently he in some discussion online, he ended up saying some shit like what did he say? The line was audio of 21 Savage trying to convince people that Nas is irrelevant. Said some shit like, yeah, Raz is something like Nas has a fan base, a loyal fan base, but he's irrelevant. And, of course, the hip-hop world got fucking upset, including me. Yeah, I was cursing this dude out. I mean, like, you know, I was thinking of that line Pac was telling, Pac told to Nas, and I should be sent to him. He said, hey, wait, grown folks talking, nigga, close your mouth. Pete, man, I take this war shit deeply. Don't see too many real players fall to let you bitch niggas beat me. Anyway, sorry. Okay, sorry, I'm getting emotional again. All right, calm the fuck down, B. Calm down. You're about to go to bed soon. All right. Okay, look, all I'm saying is I'm not going to waste my time dissing this young man, 21 Savage, because for one, it'd be interesting if he said that if him and Nas got together and in a promotional effort, say, yo, okay, I tell you what, Nas, I'm going to say some wild shit, and trust me, people will be talking about the both of us. They're going to shit on me, but, you know, I'm a dreamer. But or he might just be another punk ass snot nosed kid who really thinks he's making an interesting point. All I know is that was offensive. Back in the days, homie. Back in the days, he's like, yeah. Anyway, yeah, he would have gotten dealt with. But anyway, instead of focusing on, because I was about to go on some fuck 21 Savage rant, but I'm realizing that he's not worth it. What did Lester tell McNulty? You ain't worth the skin off my knuckles, youngin. So instead, I'm just gonna focus on how much I enjoy Nas's music, man. I remember Nas's, okay, first album, Illmatic. I had that shit on tape. And I can't remember if the tape popped, if the tape broke, if, or whatever, but I ended up, yo, I bought Illmatic twice. There might be a third time, but I bought Illmatic, his first album, twice. Once on tape and once on CD. And this is when I could have downloaded the music illegally, allegedly. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, man. No, I'm just sure. You know what? Again, this is a midweek recording. I could go on about how significant the impact Nas has made. Like, he's an artist, legend, all of the above. Like, I grew up to his music. I still remember picking up his tape. He's got significant. I remember sneaking in, sneaking in to go see Nas in concert. What happened is he came to our city, Ottawa, to perform for only for Carlton and what's that word when you commit a crime? And I think I've passed the time when it happened. Like, you know, you can't arrest me for it. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, so he came to do a show in Ottawa. For Carlton U and Carlton U and Ottawa U students. I was neither. So I ended up sneaking in and I walked in. But it was worth it. That's my fucking point. I probably saw Nas in concert more than once. 21, like, you know, let me put it this way. LL Cool J's got a line that goes, checking out the rapper and the line that he says. When he says that shit, Nas is in that category of rappers that you're checking out the rappers in the rhyme that he says. 21 Savage? Yeah. Man, who? Who? Anyway, yeah. Again, only reason he's on my radar is because he made a track with Drake and he talked shit about Nas. That's it. But yeah, man. I mean, yo, these kids, man, seriously. This is what happens when you stop beating your kids. No, I do not condone beating your kids. You know what? This is killing me. I'm looking at my Twitter page and there's a blue check mark on my notification page. And I have to see what the notification is. Da, 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 da. Oh, my homie, My homie Trevor Noah, Trevor Thompson, the comedian, famous comedian. Trevor Thompson liking one of my posts. Yeah, man. Check out his podcast, man. He's a local comedian, and it's called Trevor's Pad. And yeah, man, it's an enjoyable podcast. He's a comedian and he's in Montreal, and the way he just shares his thoughts, it's admirable. Anyways, just check it out, man. Trevor Podcast. Yeah. Trevor's probably the one of the few white people I'll be promoting on this podcast. All right. Okay. I'm trying to make white people earn my respect. All right. Okay. Go down for the list. Real quick. Will Smith as a new slave movie. And I remember hearing about it, seeing the pictures about it, and being like, fuck a no. Because, you know, I guess I'm... Hold on. My chest is hurting. I got to hold this microphone in a way that's going to... I think I need to get one of those. Hold on. Time out. Nah, I guess it's card. Yes. There we go. Anyways. Yeah. Will Smith's got a movie. Slave movie coming out. And, yeah, I guess I feel like I'm tired of seeing slave movies. But this motherfucker sold it right, because it sounds like, you know, the trailer finally came out, and I heard some Creole in there, and it's in Louisiana, and I guess it's in, what's that state? New Orleans? Louisiana? New Orleans in Louisiana? I'm not a fucking American. Hold on a second. New Orleans. Which Canadian city? Je connais pas les provinces de... Yep, it's in Louisiana. City of Louisiana? Okay, New Orleans is the city, correct. Louisiana is the state. Damn, this shit's complicated. Speaking of worried about making mistakes, I'm freaking out here. Okay, country, United States. Yeah, Louisiana. All right, okay. Oh, my God. I've heard stories about how Haitian soldiers were involved in... Was it the American Revolution? Or the... I think the American Revolution. Yeah, okay. But New Orleans, yeah, has a Creole influence. And my point is, in the trailer, there's a woman singing to Will Smith in Creole. And as a fellow Haitian, that's got my attention. So I'm not saying I'm going to watch this slave movie in a theater. Fuck that. I'm way too sensitive to watch it in theater. I'm liable to, you know, like, you eat your popcorn too loud, white person, and I might flip out on you. What the fuck? Cracker ass, cracker! You know, well, I'm eating popcorn loud too. I'm just saying, yeah, I'm for the sake of public safety and for other people's enjoyment, I will not see that shit in theaters, but I will watch it in the comfort of my home. Right. Okay. It looks interesting. That's all I'm getting at. It really sounds interesting. It's amazing. I was going to go for fuck that too. Oh, wait a minute. Creole. There might be some Haitian involvement. Then I'm going to watch it. Okay. What else do I have in there? Okay. I forgot to mention the title of this episode. Okay. The last point. This is the point before the last point here is I'll address the title of this episode. But before I get to that, I want to share with everyone that I'm reading a book called, his name is George Floyd. Shout out to JL Covan. He's the one who, I heard him mention it on one of his podcasts, the Righteous Prep podcast. And yeah, that nigga reads. And he talks about, you know, books that he reads. Anyways, he mentioned it. And man, that dude, his recommendations are on fire. Anyways, comedian. You know what's funny? It's funny how I mentioned JL Covan and Trevor Podcast in the same episode, because those two remind me of each other. Well, I mean, they have similarities in their storytelling. But anyway, that, yeah, I'll let you figure that out for yourself. All right. So, yeah, his name is George Floyd, and it's funny how, I mean, it's not funny. I mean, initially the shit was depressing me, but it's essentially, I love how they say his name is George Floyd, but essentially they're pointing out that he's a human being. I think Stalin has a saying that goes, one death is tragic, a million death is a statistic. When George Floyd was killed, he was just a statistic. in a way, it was us. This book turns him into it, explains the tragedy in his death, not just like how he was a human being. I think did I mention this already? Yeah, this same friend, the same white friend that I mentioned earlier. Okay, I'm gonna stop calling him a friend, but this white guy I used to go to school with, after the George Floyd death, said some reckless shit about his death. Did some white people shit and said, "Huh? Why is this shit considered racist?" And was trying to bring up, you know, his George Floyd's criminal record. And that shit just pissed me off. Oh, actually, he's the white dude that I gave him a chance to say, "Bro, I'm not calling you racist, but right now you're saying some racist shit." And he flipped out on me. But anyway, that's not the point. And the more I read this book, the more I'm remembering why I flipped out on him. It's why I felt the need to correct him. Because at the end of the day, he was a human being. Regardless what the fuck you think about him, he didn't deserve to die the way he died. You know, he's a fucking human being. Like, holy shit. Even Dylann Roof deserved to die, you know, with someone's neck, a cop's knee on his neck, having him plead for his life. He deserved to die in that dirty way. I say shit like that, but I acknowledge the fact that I want to live in a civilized society, and I accept the fact that he was arrested, because that's how this shit works. But what happened to George Floyd? His death was just, look, what bothered me is how there were still white people who still needed to see more black people die before they're like, oh, okay, maybe this racism shit is more is as bad as these black people keep saying it is. Reading his story, and the book is doing a beautiful picture. It's a combination of insightful rap verses, poetry, and The Wire. Like, it gives a whole context to his life. Like, I haven't finished the book, but the parts that I'm reading, like, they talked about his death, how during his final days, he was paying for cigarettes with an allegedly fake $20 bill. And one thing they established, if it was a fake $20 bill, that shit was not his intention. Because the way to describe Floyd is like he's like a homie, like someone that I would have had in my car. Because the reason I know it wasn't intentional, because the guy he was in the car with had fucking drugs on him, and the last thing they wanted was attention from the police. So yeah, if you're driving with someone who's got drugs on them, you're not doing some more criminal shit. You know, I'm not gonna look. My point is, homie did not deserve to die regardless of what crime you think he commits. And I'm just saying, yeah, it's an interesting book, and I'm fascinated by this journey. I remember going from depression, which I'm going to touch on in the next segment that I'm about to talk about, because I nearly stopped reading it, because it's they delved into his great-great-grandfather and how he owned basically the drama of black Americans, like the drama, the struggles of black Americans. See, we take for granted the systematic racism that has plagued black Americans for generations. Like, there's this, I'm thinking about how, the way I can explain it is, it's a longer story. I'm just saying, I was born in Canada. My parents came here from Haiti, and their version of white supremacy, of racism they fought in Haiti. Yeah, I know there was no white people, but I'm talking about how white supremacy fucked up Haiti. They dealt with that version. Like, my parents were prepared for that kind of fight against white supremacy. But when they moved to Canada, it was a completely different ball game. And I'm saying, coming to Canada, my parents, I personally experienced the white supremacy that I'm dealing with in Canada is not the same as what my parents dealt with in Haiti. So it's just to say that I didn't experience generation of Canadian white supremacy. I'm acknowledging that. And George Floyd, it's that dude is like, he's a survivor, man. That's all I'm gonna leave it at. He's a survivor. He's a white man fucking did his thing and you know, kept throwing obstacles at him, and fuck, he was just like, how do you say, treading water, man, in this crazy society. All right, man, let me just get to the last part because I'm rambling on here. And this actually, you know what, I'll be honest with you, this is the part that I hate. I feel like I'm saying words and not making a fucking point. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. I'm just spitting shit and hope something lands. All right, now I'm going to get to the last part. Before yesterday, I had a meeting with my therapist, and the conversation, well, there was positive, and I won't say negative, but it was okay. The conversation made me realize who I think I want the audience for this podcast to be. The problem is, I'd have to be more vulnerable than I expected to be on this fucking podcast. I'd have to be more. Look, we were just having a conversation, and she pointed out, or she noticed, that there's like a sadness in me. You know what? Okay, there's a sadness in me I kind of refuse to acknowledge. It's not that she pointed out, I saw it. It's just like, because I could feel it. The more she talked, like there was like that feeling of wanting to cry was just coming over me, and I'm fighting it the whole time. But something she said that just made me realize that there's a sadness inside me that I refuse, that I have difficulty acknowledging. And along that conversation, she was talking about how there are a lot of men who have this sadness. It's probably out of loneliness, and it could be married men, it could be divorced men, single men like me. I know we just, not just men, older men, where you're just feeling a lot of what I've admitted, I've said to her. Apparently, a lot of men out there, are feeling what I'm going through. A lot of men are going through are also going through, but it's one of those things. But just like the way I don't want to acknowledge, there's a sadness inside me. I don't want to acknowledge it because if I acknowledge that sadness, I might cry like a little bitch. And I'm saying little bitch, not to disrespect people who, men who are, people who are able to cry, not to disrespect the act of crying, but I'm saying it's something I said in a previous episode about how the programming in my head, there's a program in my head that refuses to allow me to fucking cry. So this is why, just to get to it, right, to build some context, this is why I'm going to go with, okay, I'm debating between, okay, this section is called, this topic, this rundown sheet, I labeled it as when you don't feel like you're the man. I'm debating between calling this episode that or Since We Gotta Live, which is something I took from a song by the rapper Soprano. And he's got the title of the song is called Puisqu'il Faut Vivre. And I'm just it's a translation of what he said, Since We Gotta Live. It's a powerful song. Anyways, but when you don't feel like you're the man, that's a shout out to Nas on one of his albums. He's got, oh my God, Stillmatic. He's got a song called You're the Man. And I was thinking about how in hip hop, the idea is the rapper is always trying to convince you like they're the motherfucking man. And then it hit me. What happens when you don't feel like you're the man? When you don't feel as great as everyone else? When you're really feeling low? What's that line by KRS-One and love's gonna get you, because when 2.5 pair of pants, you ain't cool. When you don't feel cool, when you feel like, take every insult rappers have made, when you feel like they're the pieces, you're the target of all their insults. The poet Talal Macy, a long time ago, in one of his pieces, he said, I remember he said this, he's got a line that goes, a man is judged by what's in his soul and not in his pockets. What's beautiful about that line, well, the thing about that line is, I remember hearing it and saying, the fuck you talking about, Talal? No, it's not. I want to establish that I have ultimate respect for Talal, and when he says something, I usually embrace it. It's like, you know, I see him like he's like a preacher. He's like a teacher. But that one particular verse was the one line that had me, sorry, pastor. I don't know, man. I don't know about that, man. I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm not saying you don't know what you're talking about, but at the moment, you're better off teaching me about black holes. That will make more sense than that line right there. And it's got, it, like, I'm going to, it's like the value of a man. I grew up believing the value of a man is based on his ability to attract other women, to attract women, to be like, what's that line they said in, being the top of the reproduction pile, getting bitches. If you ain't got no bitches, you ain't shit. Yeah, man. It's like, yeah, that's the value of a man. The more women want to reproduce, to have your semen in their womb, that's how your value is established. What happens when you're not that guy? What happens when you don't have money, don't have fame, don't have kids, don't have legacy, ain't got shit to show for? Nothing tangible. Like, I'm just saying, it's just, I know that shit is in the Bible, and not to use the Bible as a reference, but I remember the line that it's always stuck to me about how this notion of, what was the line? Basically, the kingdom of heaven, something about the kingdom of heaven, it's not in your pocket. I'm fucking up the line. But the it's basically what Talal is saying is like the soul of a man. At the moment, I won't lie to you, man. I'm having difficulty seeing that as fucking currency. The soul of a man. I'm struggling. Like, even I remember having this discussion with my therapist, and and I'm looking at her like it's like telling me everything's gonna be all right. It's like telling me, I don't know. I'm just saying, if you ain't got what I've been told, this material, if you ain't got, I guess that's what I'm saying, if you ain't got material wealth to show for, you ain't shit as a man. Is that true? Maybe it's a lie, but at the moment, it's probably a lie. But at the moment, I can't see. I believe in that. Like, I believe in, okay, I don't have my wallet on me. Like, you put up this $10 bill in front of me. I know it's a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper. But I know that piece of paper has value. I can, you know, it's in street. Like, I can go anywhere and exchange that motherfucker for something. But the soul of a man? I don't know. Like, the look, I'm pointing out my ignorance at the moment. I'm used to dealing with folks who just said, yo, get over it, man. Like, you know, get over it. Or you're supposed to understand that. I am currently, I should probably write this shit down. I am currently stuck into making sense out of the line Talal AC said of, a man is judged by what's in his soul and not what's in his pocket. I don't know, man. Shorty can't eat a soul. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I can't. Whew. You know what? The closest, I was just thinking about this. One of my coworkers, one guy that I work with, right? And he's how he's like the life of the party. He's a pleasure to have around. When he's sick, the days you can, it's significant. But when he's around, he's the guy who's posting memes, making jokes around and shit like that. He just makes the day more pleasurable. So I guess I can see how the value he brings to the team. But for him, I wonder if he sees himself that way. Like, if he like, would that make his day finding out that, oh, man, you think I make, oh, thanks, homie, whatever, and stuff like that. Like, is that, but I mean, is that, if I was, I don't know, man. I'm over there. And here's where this thing gets more complicated. In my discussion with my therapist, said she recommended, I thought it was a good idea, is joining a support group, a man support group. And the first thought that came to my mind is, I don't think there is one, but I would consider starting one. Well, here's the problem, though. But before I would start one, my problem is, I'm going to make another reference to the rapper Soprano. And one of his, in the same song, Puisqu'il faut vivre, he's got a line. He says, ma colère envers les hommes est énorme. Which, by the way, was going to be the title. It was another title consideration. But to translate in English, he goes, just, you know, basically, my rage against men. he's just angry at men. But I think he means mankind in his context. He just, you know, he hates, that's his way of saying he hates the world. But the way I've been taking it is, ma colère envers les hommes est énorme, is she actually, I just looked around. She actually sent me some links to, you know, men's group. And the first thought that came to mind is how much I don't trust men. I don't trust being weak around men. It's never worked out for me. I don't trust being vulnerable. I don't trust, it's just been my experience that, like, I was thinking, I had this situation at my work where my boss was asking me to, hey, basically he asked me whether I was willing to accept this challenging task. He said, do you want to do it? And in my mind, I remember being so suspicious of his words. I'm like, okay, is this your way? If I say no, is this your way of saying, oh, this guy's a bitch? You know, am I going to be judged for saying no? Like, I always feel like I'm constantly need to show myself. I constantly need to be, some with men need to show strength around men or else there's some kind of defeat. I'm going longer than I meant to. But okay, I made clear notes. I said, trust issues. I got trust issues around men. I would join a support group, but two things that comes to mind. One, if I don't want to be involved in any MRA incel bullshit. Usually when men congregate, it's always for negative shit, men's rights shit, it's kind of like white people. I used to say this about how an advantage I have over my white friends is I can congregate, find other black people to get with, and we're a community. But a white person finds other white people to bond with, and it might turn out to be the Klan. Like, the only white group organization, it always seems to be negative. It always seems like all the white, anytime white people gather, it's always for something negative. Maybe Christian groups or whatever. I don't know. Maybe the Hell's Angels. Who knows? Look, okay. I am acknowledging that I have a limited view of this world, limited experience of this world. Maybe there is a group out there of men who congregate, who come together, and it's not for the usual negative bullshit. Maybe the ones that, the links that she sent me, maybe it is a positive group. But then my second worry is, because this is Ottawa, and if it's a group of white people, you know, they might be the cool people, but they might be the kind people. They might be the kind type, but you don't have a conversation about racism with them. In Ottawa, fuck, man. In this city, holy shit. The average white person in this city is oblivious, and I mean oblivious to their whiteness and the experience of black people. As far as they're concerned, the solution to fixing racism is by getting black people to stop talking about it. Just like when, like, this is like, just like I can't have, like when I mentioned earlier about, you know, simple conversations about, you know, hey, crack the whip. It makes it reminds me of when I was in, you know, or even joking about that shit. Every time you say that shit, it reminds me of when I'm back in high school and white kids kept fucking looking at me every time the teacher would talk about slavery. It makes me uncomfortable, homie. Anyway, yeah, it's you can't have those kind of conversation because then it's, I'm going to bring this back to George Floyd to why his, well, out of the many reasons why his death was bothering me, it was that look of indifference on Chauvin's face when his knees was on his neck. And any attempt by Floyd to breathe was just met with indifference by that guy. And I bring this up because that's what it's been like growing up in Ottawa as a black kid, as a black person. Any attempt to, hey, you're stepping on my feet. Hey, you're saying some shit that's, you know, that's triggering. That's fucking with me. I don't think that's, it bothers me. Any attempt to do shit like that, it was always met with hostility or indifference. It'd be like, you know, try not to be so sensitive. Whatever, shit like that. I just brought it. Anyway, okay, oh my God. Yeah, so I'm having my, actually, you know what? I just remembered, at the beginning of the pandemic and around during George Floyd era, I might ask this brother see if I'm not gonna say his name, but I might talk to him about it. But there was this one brother, and he's a community dude. He's also a poet, and he had a gathering for black men to discuss shit. And I remember, because I remember joining that meeting and being the first to speak and talking about, yeah, I am going through hard times, because that was the point of the meeting, just to talk about, yo, brothers, you know, check out pulse on each other, right? And I went out with, yo, times are hard, fellas, I'm seeing a therapist, and blah, 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 blah. I was looking, this was in a Zoom call, and I remember speaking and later realizing that, oh, B, man, shut the fuck up. Not everyone's down with therapy. Some niggas might think you're being a bitch right now. But anyways, I remember just speaking and then being, whoops, I think I spoke too, but I think I'm oversharing. And this one guy, the guy after me, I think he was after me, he started to speak, and he's a father, and he was talking about the pressures of trying to be a good father. And homie started to cry. And I remember that shit caught me off guard. I mean, I believe the tears were sincere. But it just reminds me of what my therapist was saying is, there's a lot of us out there who are suffering, who are going through some shit. But we keep it to ourselves. We, just like me in that sadness, refuse to acknowledge it. And it's funny how I'm talking to you about it now, like it's nothing, like it's no big deal. But it's actually a thing. I'm talking to you like there's gonna be a happy ending to the story, that, you know, one day I'm gonna snap out of it. Like I believe one day this story ends happily. But if I continue to go down this path, then might be another statistic. I don't know. Look, I just know it's something. When it comes to sadness, it's like, as a man, it's difficult to acknowledge. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's difficult because it's as if your entire identity as a decent human being revolves around your ability to suck it up. I mean, I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing. It's, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't have no, look, I'm kind of hoping that I'm going to mature in this, with this shit, and probably, you know, and maybe that's going to be the shit that brings people to want to like form a community from this podcast. That might be it. I don't know. Maybe I think I'm onto something. That's all I'm gonna say is I think I'm onto something, or maybe I'm bullshitting. With that said, I don't know. Yeah, man. With that said, I'm going to end today's episode 024. Where am I going to go? Since We Gotta Live. I think I'm going to live. Yeah, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to go with Since We Gotta Live. when do you feel, when you don't feel like a man? But it is a thing. It's like when you don't feel like you're supposed, like every man tells you, you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to feel like a conqueror. You're supposed to feel like a winner. You're supposed to feel like, that's what being a man is. Being a man is, you're supposed to feel like on top of the world. And my question is, what happens when you don't? What happens when you start telling yourself, hey, you gotta live? And your question is, why? Why? Like, so any answer people give you, you're just dismissing it. What happens then? That's the million-dollar question. You know what? I might repeat this theme, this topic on the next episode, but so I'm just going to leave it at that. Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 54 minutes. Okay. I've taken up all the time that I've wanted to take. Yeah. This concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter at bblissack or shutuppodcast. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to this podcast using this RSS feed or using the RSS feed on the website, or find us on Google or Apple Podcasts. Hey, check this out. On Apple Podcasts is a place where you can rate us. I'd really appreciate it if you can, hook a brother up with some 5-star rating. You know, I'm not harassing you for Patreon for merch yet, but a 5-star rating would help a brother out, would go a long way. You know, feel free to use our email, and if there's anything I said that you feel the need that sparked a response from, holler at me, man. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Yo, thank you for listening, and remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Yeah.